when it comes down to Ole Miss, this is a big game. And joining us now from the Rebel Walk. .com and somebody that has been a contributor here. I've had a chance to work with him. He's even had to keep up with me in cities like Grand Junction, Colorado, and places like St. George, Utah, and have to put up with my nonsense. Steve Barnes joins us here to talk some college football, and it's a big week, Steve. Ole Miss, Alabama, and for the first time in a while, it feels like it would be an upset, but people are giving the Rebs a shot.
Well, except out in Vegas, and that's the only place on that trip I couldn't keep up with you, Chad. I could find you in Colorado and Utah. I couldn't find you in Vegas.
That's what happens there stays there, Steve. What are you doing, man? Come on now. But
but yeah, the Reds, Vegas has the Reds down, I think, 14.5-point underdogs. And, you know, we were out in Vegas together, and, you know, I'm not a betting man, but I would consider taking the 14.5.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, I've said on the show, and it's no – I just have a feeling that Nick Saban's going to have one of these type of games. I do – when I said I would take that, I would stay away from this game personally. I think – I look at it from an analytic standpoint where they should set the spread. I think I would actually put it around 12.5, maybe 11 in my head. But I just have a – sometimes it's okay to say this in sports, like to go with the analytics. The offensive line for Ole Miss looks better, everything about it. But I just have a feeling Nick Saban has heard so much this week about his former coach and how Ole Miss can beat him and all. And they're going to Tuscaloosa, which that environment can get nasty, with the best roster in all of college football when they want to turn it on. I just have a feeling they're just going to come out and look fierce early and win this game somewhere around like 48-27. But that's just my opinion on it. Like I said, it's more of a gut feeling than the analytics standpoint, because Ole Miss has deserved to be, to me, less than a 2-touchdown favorite the way they played this year.
Well, you know, Kiffin said it best this week. He's like, you know, Saban's the reason Alabama's Alabama at the moment, and he recruits the best players. And now what he calls free agency instead of the transfer portal, he just says, hey, you know, you need a wide receiver? He goes and gets one out of Ohio State. You need a linebacker? He goes and gets Tua Tagovailoa from Tennessee, just plugs him on in. He's just a master of that thing. So it – beating a Nick Saban team anyway is tough, and now he's, 23-0 against former assistants, I think?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, just, you know, I think, well, he mentioned today on TV where Wilbon had said that stuff on PTI, and he's like, wow, you know, that's really groundbreaking news that Alabama should beat Ole Miss. Wow, thanks for breaking that news for us, buddy.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ole Miss is better. When they played last year, and they went toe-to-toe for three quarters, basically, that was the third game in the offensive system and the defensive system for those players. They didn't have a spring. They really didn't have a summer. So they'd had, you know what, 3 weeks of preseason. They played Florida and went to Kentucky, then had Alabama. And still, they scored the most that anybody did on Alabama last year. They put 48 up.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Steve, talk a little bit about the team, because as somebody that knows a lot about the school, writes for the school, you know a little more. Everybody likes to assume things when it comes to teams in a certain way. Like Georgia is really good at defense. They're going to have big offensive linemen and defensive linemen, but they're stale sometimes when it comes to scoring a lot of points. Everybody's got an MO. Like Wisconsin, all they do is run the football, and they're big in the middle, but they're slow on the outside. That's not always true. Things change. Offenses change. Defenses change. Arkansas is a completely different team than they were a couple years ago. Is Ole Miss a completely different team defensively, or are there still enough flaws where that's a big weak link?
Well, on defense, they did change the scheme a little bit. They're running, you know, a little more of an Arkansas, you know, it's kind of a basically a 3-2-6. But those six, they can come up and play the box. The thing that was missing last year, a lot of it, was Otis Reese transferred from Georgia. And for some reason, his teammate at Georgia, Mays, transferred to Tennessee, and he was eligible right away. For some reason, Otis Reese wasn't eligible until the ninth game of the season. And the NCAA never even gave a reason for that. And that's why I say sometimes NCAA stands for no clue at all. but when that kid came in there, I mean, the defense, I mean, you saw it in the bowl game last year. They only gave up 20 to Indiana. Indiana, pretty good offense. But we got Reese back there. Jake Springer transferred in from Navy. He's basically it's a free safety now. That kid's better. Chance Campbell came in after he graduated from Maryland. He had played for defensive coordinator DJ Durkin at Maryland. So that's how that connection happened. Then he came in there, and you add the top two junior college defensive tackles. You add Taiwan Malone, a freshman out of Philadelphia, who's coming in and playing. They've got a lot of different personnel. And plus, last year they did have some players. A.J. Finley from Mobile is a really good corner. Kedron Smith, another good corner. The big thing is on the defense for Ole Miss, are they going to be able to tackle? If they miss tackle Saturday, it's going to be a long day.
That was one of the things that Nick Saban was talking about, too, is the schematic changes that Ole Miss has made defensively and how they could drop eight and the way that they haven't really gone. They went against Mercer, who plays a similar scheme, but obviously Mercer talent-wise is not to the level of Ole Miss, Steve. But in terms of what Ole Miss needs to have happen to pull this off, what do you think is the most important thing for the Rebels going into this game? Is it, you know, the turnover battle? Is it the battle at the line of scrimmage? Or is it something else?
Well, I think it's two things. First, it's the Ole Miss offensive line. Everybody talks about Matt Corral throwing the ball all over the field, and he's done it. He's put up all these numbers, and you have to remember, he didn't play the fourth quarter against Austin Peay or Tulane. And Tulane, he was responsible for seven touchdowns in three quarters. So, yeah, he can do that. But the Ole Miss running attack, they've got three running backs back there. You've got Jerrion Ealy, who is just a gasher. He can just fly. Then you've got Snoop Connor, who is just a bulldozer.
Snoop.
And then the third guy is Henry Parrish Jr. And Ealy, he described him as a combination. He said he's got home run speed and red zone power. So if Ole Miss can run the ball, that's going to put a little less pressure on Corral, and he's going to be able to throw a few of those deep balls. If they can't run the ball effectively, then Alabama's going to bring the house, and you're going to see a bunch of 6-7 yard throws and hoping the receivers can break tackles and run with it instead of throwing the ball 40 yards downfield. And the other thing, like you said, the turnover battle back in 14 and 15, when Ole Miss beat Alabama in 2014, Ole Miss tied the game in the fourth quarter, kicked off on the ensuing kickoff, and Bama fumbled it. Ole Miss takes over, and a few seconds later, they have the game tying, or game winning touchdown, and they sealed it with an interception in the end zone. And a year later, two fumbles on kickoffs by Alabama, including the opening kickoff and an interception, led to 17 points. That was the difference of the game. If Ole Miss can force three turnovers, they've got a shot.
Well, yeah, and for people who don't know Jerrion Ealy very well, he's the guy who is a dual threat, well, dual sport player. He plays baseball too at Ole Miss. The guys that talk about athletes, he's big time. But
he's better at baseball than he is at football. He's already said that, you know, he likes playing football, but baseball is his livelihood. He was taken, I believe, the second round out of high school by the Diamondbacks, and he did not play baseball this year because he had a messed up shoulder. But another one is, you know, John Rhys Plumlee plays both sports. And something really interesting about Plumlee, really, really quick. In baseball, as a freshman, he wore number 11. This year, he wore number 10 because 11 got retired for Don Kessinger. Well, since he arrived in Oxford, he's been wearing number 10 in football. Against LSU this year, they're going to retire number 10 for Eli Manning. He has got to be the only guy that in history who's had two jerseys that he wore in college retired.
And not for him, actually, you know, for other guys.
Although he does, I think he's going to be the best NIL guy at Ole Miss. The kid's just a natural, just marketer. I mean, you know, no offense. I know we got a lot of Tebow fans here, but I really wish he'd have made the Jaguars this year, because in 2 years, John Rhys Plumlee would be perfect for his job at the SEC Network.
Well, wait, Steve, didn't Robert Kimdichie get paid for name, image, and likeness? Oh, never. Never. No, sorry, that was wrong year. Okay.
Robert Kimdichie. No, you're thinking Tunsil. Tunsil's the one who actually said that. Kimdichie was the one who decided to have a certain herb and fall off a balcony in Atlanta. So
I do remember that. Well, did he fall, or he was escaping through a window, wasn't it, with the story?
I think he was at a party and was sitting on the rail and lost his balance or something, but I understand a certain herb will do that to you with your equilibrium.
Well, you know what? Lane Kiffin's got him in the right direction, and that's something where, you know, just to have Ole Miss in this game at Tuscaloosa and having the conversation, whether Greeny said some, like we said, we love Greeny. He's part of the network, but he said some things, Aaron Rodgers and other things this year. Or who said it? It wasn't him on the show, right?
That was talked, Wilbon.
It was Wilbon saying it on Greeny. Okay, okay. But when Wilbon said it, you know, even to bring that up, even though Wilbon probably is going a little overboard with this, like, yeah, I think that Alabama can beat Ole Miss. And this, like, to say that, come on,
well,
dude. Like,
the thing, but, again, when he said that, you know, Kiffin's a clown, you know,
oh, yeah.
Kiffin came back today and just said, you know, that's really, you know, weird of him to say. He's never met me. He's never been around me.
That's pretty rude. Yeah, that's pretty rude.
Well, I'm sure you know Doug Mosley. I worked with him at the University of West Florida Sports Information, and now he's the executive director of the Boca Raton Bowl. And he got to know Kiffin pretty well. And when Kiffin got the job at Ole Miss, I called him. I was like, you know, are we going to get the guy that was at, you know, Tennessee?
Yeah.
And with Southern Cal and the Raiders, he goes, no. This guy's grown up.
Yeah, we were at the – last year we were in the Boca Bowl last year when they great headline in the paper. It says Cougars get to celebrate in Boca, you know, with BYU winning.
Well, and you can go ahead and go, Steve.
No, I was just going to say, speaking of the Cougars, wouldn't it be nice to have that group of five playoff again this year?
Yes, it would.
Yeah?
Yeah, it absolutely would. We're rooting for Cincinnati, but –
yeah, so
I tell you what, if Cincinnati can win at Notre Dame, you got a hard sell of keeping them out if they run the table.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I think the best case scenario for Cincinnati is if Ole Miss and Arkansas end up upsetting Alabama and Georgia respectively. I think they jump Cincinnati no matter what they do to Notre Dame just because of the prestige of those two matchups. But with Cincinnati, if they can beat Notre Dame on the road by, say, double digits, I think they might need a little bit of help. But like you said, it's hard for the committee to ignore Cincinnati beating an Indiana team that is maybe not quite as good as last year, but they got a lot of the same personnel, and then also a Notre Dame team who is also in the top 10 at this moment and on the road.
Well, the thing is, the pollsters. I did a thing on my column this week that's going to run on Friday. I called it my even if scenarios. Even if Ole Miss beats Alabama this week, I don't think Alabama falls below Ole Miss in a poll next week. I still think they're ranked higher, even they lost, because the pollsters still think that, you know, Ole Miss is going to lose two games along the way, and we need to keep Alabama up there higher. That way, if that's the only one they lose, make sure they get in. And the other even if Alabama and Georgia lose, I think Arkansas should be ranked number one because they would have beaten number two, number five, and number 15, and number two on the road. But I don't think the pollsters would move them higher than three. I think Oregon and Notre Dame would stay ahead of them, maybe Penn State.
Is this the most, I don't know, compared to, you know, when Bo Wallace was quarterback and Hugh Freeze was still there, is this at that level of excitement and anticipation for this game when Ole Miss was in, when Ole Miss and Mississippi State were both in the top five and even amongst the top teams in the country, or is there even more hype going into this year given that they've got Matt Corral at quarterback and this offense seems to be almost unstoppable?
I was talking to one of our interns on campus and just asked him about the vibe, and he said the vibe this week's just a little different. It's just a little more hyped up, but you don't get it from the players. The players are like, you know, we're worried about us. I mean, they say all the right things, but they're sort of doing the right things. Corral's in the building at 5:30 in the morning. Ole Miss does things a little backwards. They practice in the morning and go to class in the afternoon. So he's in the building at 5:30 in the morning, and he's there in meetings or film or in weights or at practice until about noon. Then he goes and gets lunch, and then he goes to class. So he's putting in, you know, seven and a half hours in the morning, and then he comes back after class. He's holding the other guys accountable during the rain delay, the Tulane rain delay. It was almost 2 hours long, and he was going around in the locker room telling guys to turn off the TV, stop watching the Alabama Florida game. We got to play tonight. So I think it's really strange. I think he was really immature when he got to Ole Miss. If you remember his freshman year, he got in a fight during the Egg Bowl. I think that Kiffin sort of matured him, and maybe Corral matured Kiffin a little bit.
Well, that was one of the interesting things, too, is speaking of how Lane Kiffin's impacted, you know, the program. Nick Saban, I host a show on Mondays about Alabama, but one of the things Nick Saban said about Lane, he was asked, a lot of people say what Lane asked Lane what they learned from Nick, but they posed the question to Coach Saban, how have you learned from Lane Kiffin? And he said offensively, when he came in, he's learned so many different things schematically on how to run offenses, and you've seen it with Alabama. I mean, they still, the way that they run their offenses is you know, been enhanced and been impacted by Lane Kiffin and what he brings to the table from an offensive perspective. I thought that was interesting to hear that from Coach Saban. I thought it was a pretty good question as well.
And I think too, Steve, you look at a guy that he looks like he can relate to kids today. That is a tough thing. Like, Sam Pittman's got a great staff, but I can't see like Sam Pittman hanging out in the parking lot with the kids, like high fiving. He does his job. They respect him. But like Lane Kiffin, even he's one of the best guys to follow on Twitter when it comes to head coaches. He's got a sense of humor. You know, Daniel Tosh looks like him and they make jokes back and forth. But like Lane, he looks like the kind of guy that if a kid is having problems or maybe has a personality like Matt Corral, but has talent, sometimes you need to speak to him on his level. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, well, when I was back in the day, because they're not listening. They're like, we're going to do this. Lane seems like a guy that can relate to the kids a little, and I think that's important today.
And something else that helps them, they're both California guys. So Kiffin went to Fresno State, and I guess, well, Corral went to two high schools. He went to Oak Christian first, then he ended up at Long Beach Poly. And it's really interesting. The guys playing against Bryce Young, they grew up 71 miles from each other in California. They grew up watching USC and UCLA, and now they're playing in the SEC. And they did play once in high school, by the way. And as Corral said, yeah, we played them in minor day, killed us. I love the quote. Just minor day is just ridiculous. But so is Alabama.
That's true. Well, Steve, we could talk about this game all day. I think the country, if you're a true fan in the top 10, you need to be rooting for Ole Miss and Arkansas to shake the pot, because you don't want sort of Alabama and Georgia. You know, if they win this, they're just on a trail to be locked into those spots. All of a sudden, Ole Miss and Arkansas win this week or one or the other, and Cincinnati's playing Notre Dame. We got shakeup in college football. If Wisconsin can beat Michigan, all of a sudden everything's open.
The greatest thing to me is Georgia and Arkansas kick off at 11, and then Ole Miss and Alabama at 2:30. People actually see the games before the tailgate really gets out of hand.
That is exactly. It's going to be it sounds like if you're out partying, designated driver, because it's going to be a long day after those games. So, hey, Steve, I hope you have a blessed day. I appreciate you coming on short notice. Check it out, Barnstorming Thoughts Around College Football, therebelwalk.com. Everything that Steve does, writing with Ole Miss and covering college football, and has been a broadcaster in the area as well in a long time. Troy's doing well, too. I know we don't have all the time, but we'll get back on here. I know you're proud of what Troy's doing, too, because they're putting together some good pieces.
Last week, losing to Louisiana Monroe, but, you know.
Well, I know.
Wow.
I didn't bring that up.
But they have South Carolina this week.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring up that part. They look good before that week, you know. Well, hey, Steve, have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy.